Hey everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy baseball site. Use the promo code DVR to get a free contest entry today with a first-time deposit on DraftKings. I am Scott Jensted, and I am joined by Jeff Erickson. Jeff, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm just happy to clam, Scott. I couldn't be happier to be here right now. Note to self, do not drive in the drive from Vegas to L.A. the weekend of the Baker to Vegas rally. Just bad things, man.
Sorry to hear that. I know you've been a long day, so we'll get into this pretty quick. And just a note, if you do listen to the show on iTunes or Stitcher, can please rate and review the podcast. We would greatly appreciate that. Big weekend in Vegas, NFBC this weekend. It was good to see you. How did you think the weekend went?
Pretty good. I was actually pretty happy with my team. It was a fun weekend. I feel like I'm getting a little bit more refined every single week. We'll see how it's going to go. But I like my team. There's a couple things I might do differently in retrospect, but I'm okay with it.
So you were starting from the you're starting from the 15 spot. Why don't we'll hit your team first? Tell us how the first few rounds went. What were you thinking? All that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, the goal was the pie in the sky hope was that I get Max Scherzer. I knew that was probably very unlikely. And sure enough, I didn't get him. In fact, he went not even just early. He went at 9 overall in my league. So, and not as early as I saw in the Diamond draft today where he went 3rd overall. But,
wow.
So, yeah. So that dream was cashed pretty quickly. Then I was hoping maybe I'd go too low on Puig. Not so much. Too low went 11. Puig went 13. So
the wild thing is that Scherzer, Tulo, and Puig would have been there in my league at 15.
Right.
That's wild how different every league is.
Yeah, exactly. So I was actually dabbling with the idea of going starter. I was going to go Max Felix, or your King Max plan.
Right.
But then I kind of I wimped out. I decided to pass on Felix. I could have gone Felix Strasburg, one or the other or both, and just couldn't do it. I wanted to have some hitting first. So I went Encarnacion and Jose Altuve 1-2. Still got Greinke at 315. So I got my ace, one ace at least. I consider Greinke in that grouping. I don't know if you feel that way, but I was happy to get him at 315.
I actually do, and I think you got a pretty good price on Greinke from some of the draft boards I went around the room and looked at. He did not make it to that 315 very often. In fact, he went in the second round in our league to Dave Potts.
Yeah, And it's funny, and you guys had a loaded league. We'll talk more about yours in a sec. But I did see one where Greinke went into the 4th.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But, sticks one half dozen another. I mean, there is a risk of the elbow. He has his injection every spring. It's a little bit gnarly to worry about. Went Corey Dickerson at 4-1. He's one of my pet guys. I'd be happy to take him anywhere in the 3rd round. And got him at 4-1, so I was good with that. But that was, I passed on like Zimmerman and Hamels and Lester and Wainwright, Chapman too. All those were in play for me, but I went Dickerson instead.
But through 4 rounds, that's, two good home run bats, a good steals guy and a pretty good batting average. It's a pretty good base you got right there.
Yeah. And all three of my first three hitters hit for reasonable average. Encarnacion is the lowest of the three, but he doesn't strike out much. So it's not like I don't think he's got a Upton season in him or anything collapse like that. So the only bad thing that can happen with him is the back, which that's still a possibility still too. You pick a player and you can find a concern.
Absolutely. So, and I don't think Encarnacion gets to that level of you being able to pick him without the back issues in spring training anyway. So I think that worked out for you. And, hopefully the back works out, obviously. But I think that is the reason that he got to you at the turn anyway.
Yeah, I without a doubt, without a doubt. Now the critical picks for me were 5, 6, 7, 8. I went Cole Calhoun and Cody Allen 5, 15, 6, 1. There are 5 other closers that had gone before I took Allen. When you pick at the end, it's just there's so many guys that can go by, and I just didn't want to get left holding the bag on closers. So Allen was my top closer remaining at that point in time. I pushed him up a little bit because I wanted to make sure I got a closer. I wanted to get a closer I was comfortable with. So I think it drops off pretty quickly after 15 or so. But consequence of that is I didn't take a starting pitcher. I didn't take one of Samardzija, Turan, Sonny Gray, James Shields, Chio Gonzalez. These are all guys that went after those two picks. Iwakuma was another one that went. Carrasco, Arrieta, DeGrom, Waka, Alex Wood. All those guys were gone to me by the time it came to 7-8.
Were you pretty set on going to closer there? Did you kind of go back and forth on it, or you knew you were taking closer at 5-6?
I was going back and forth, but you know, I wanted to wait and just double up 7-8 closers, and I still might have been able to, because you know I kind of helped induce the closer run when you take one like that. But I so many years in this particular contest, I've mistimed the run, so I was like, I'm going to get one now. I want to get one later. I want to get 2 by 10. And I was able to do so, but with every pick that comes a cost. And that's just always a lesson to learn there.
Yeah, especially in the 15-teamers. You know, I did a 12-teamer on Friday, and then the 15-teamers, you got to give something up. There's just no way to get everything you need. And I mean, I think that's what makes the challenge so fun with that, is this, you can't get everything. You can't get a perfect team, and it's there's no way to do so.
Right, exactly. Following that, again, so I mentioned all those starters that went off the board. Any one of those makes it to me, I take them. And I thought that was where the drop-off was. So instead of going a starter there, getting my second starter, still lacking a second starter, I took two more hitters. I took Yan Gomes, who's my third catcher, and he was probably the seventh or eighth catcher taken. Brian McCann had just gone a little bit immediately before that. Mesoraco was gone. Mattis was gone. Lucroy was gone. So I went Gomes, and I wanted some power, so I got Chris Carter. A guy that I get everywhere, and I think it was a good price at 8-1, but again, there's a consequence. You know, not taking him. I mean, taking him means I don't get something else.
I love the Gomes pick. That's the one that Chris Liss was in my league. That's the one that he sniped for me, and I told him that I think Gomes is better than all the catchers you listed, but Lucroy is the only one I would take over Gomes. Just Lucroy and Posey are the only two.
Yeah, I love Lucroy. Definitely, I like him better than Gomes too. But
with
someone like
Carter as kind of a strategy point, does the DH only worry you at all, or do you think he'll get outfield eligibility and they'll DH Gattis? Do you take that into account at all?
I think he'll get first base eligibility. I think Jonathan Singleton gets sent down or gets benched against lefties or whatever, then he'll get his 10 games there. So that's I think a path to playing time. But you know, even that. When in a 15-teamer, yeah, you don't like locking up your utility, but you know you're giving. You know every position gets thin, so I'm not that concerned. I would like to have a little bit more flexibility, sure, but again, that cost me another starter. It cost me Ventura. It cost me Tyson Ross, who I'm wary of, but still, you know, it cost me Alex Cobb went kind of early, I think, for this league, given his injury. It cost me Pineda. It cost me Garrett Richards, who our buddy Vlad Sedler took. So. You can kind of see there's some, you know, there's a cost to that. But, you know, that's kind of the way you play this game a little bit. Like you said, every pick has a cost.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think at some point you've got to take what the draft gives you. And the trouble you get into is when you panic, a position's going and you take someone you don't want. You take someone you could have had a couple rounds later. I think that at some point you've got to deal with it and realize that, you know, you probably have a lot of pitchers you like a little bit later. And you just got to target them later and kind of pound them later and get a whole bunch of them, you know,
right.
Later in the draft, which I'm guessing you did, but I don't know yet.
I did. 9-10, got my second closer, Zach Britton, and my second starter. A guy that I told you I was going to get, I got Taijuan Walker. A little early at 10-1, but there's a pretty good chance he wasn't going to make it back to me. So it was a question of do I like him or some of the other starters that went later. That's all it really was about that equation.
Yeah, I liked that we talked about it, and you went and got the guy you wanted. If it makes you feel better, he went 9-14 in my draft, so you didn't really go too early when if you're looking at the other drafts.
Right, I got him two picks later, but still, yeah. I mean, and the only other starters that went after that pick, it cost myself Phil Hughes and Doug Fister. Those are the only two starters. Oh, Andrew Cashner. So three starters went from the time I took him till my next pick. So, you know, I might have gotten him. Might not. All it takes is one guy.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet a good amount of money that Walker was not coming back 30 picks more.
Yeah, I think so. My only problem, the other problem, though, is I didn't take another start at the 11-12 turn. This is where I have some regret. 11th round, first round after the break, Vlad starts this run of players that I really like that all went in front of me. AJ Pollock, you know, I love that guy. I have him in so many places. He goes –
I do as Brandon well.
Brandon Belt goes. Brett Gardner goes. Adam Eaton goes. Matt Carpenter, I didn't have a third baseman. He goes. I took two more hitters, and I probably should have taken a starter here. I regret this. I took Jason Worth, who I thought slipped, as he always does. So I'm not don't really regret that pick, but I took Ben Zobrist. And I kind of regret that, even though he's fine as a player, does a little of everything, and I didn't have a shortstop. It gives me a lot of flexibility. I can play him in a lot of places. But the cost was another pitcher, and a decent amount of pitchers went in that interim. I lost out on Chris Archer, for instance. I lost out on Colin McHugh, Lance Lynn, Jose Quintana, Jared Weaver. I don't really love Weaver, but you know, it's just one more name to take off that list of starters available. Mike Fiers, Francisco Liriano, all guys that I like, and they're all gone.
Was there one of those names in particular you really think you should have taken? Is there one that you're considering instead of Zobrist?
All of those almost starters. I wouldn't have taken Weaver.
Okay.
Probably not Quintana. As much as I don't have anything against him, I like him, but I have him lower than those guys. I would have really loved to have Archer or Fiers. McHugh, too. I think he gets underrated in these circles a little bit because people are in that prove it to me phase. Liriano gets you a ton of strikeouts if you can stay on the mound. Any one of those I would have been happy to get.
And that entire group went before your next two picks?
It did.
Oh, that's a bad feeling.
It is. So a little, 11, 12, 13 is a little dicey. Took Chase Headley, 13, got my third baseman, got Brandon McCarthy. I got one of my starters, and I was happy. Vlad later told me I snaked him there, so yay for me.
There you go.
He's 10 picks away, but still. I got John Lackey in the 15th, got Jesse Hahn in the 18th, just naming the starters.
Right.
And then I took six more starters in the last 10 picks. I took Wei-Yin Chen, Carlos Martinez, Kyle Gibson, who's like one of my personal guys I'm hanging my hat on this year, Tim Hudson for the home starts, Jay Happ for the home starts, Raisel Iglesias, just in case he is good, and Vance Worley for the home starts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to deal with the fact that, you know, you pushed some hitters in early and you didn't get a pitcher. I mean, you got a whole bunch of bulk. You could play matchups, like you said, Hudson and Happ. I mean, it's one of those things you weren't going to get star pitchers near that end, so you got to look at guys you can match up, guys you can play splits with. And I think you'd be able to – how many starters do you end up with total? 9, 10?
I think 10, actually.
Yeah, I mean, so you need 6.5 a week if we're doing the math. But I think you'd be able to find and mix and match some pretty good matchups out of that.
Yeah, 11, actually. Who knows what Iglesias is going to be? The Reds announced Sunday they have a little cold feet about him because he had a bad start on Saturday. So we'll see whether he sticks. But you need to have somebody to cut anyhow.
Absolutely. Those last few picks are – it's good to take a little chance on a guy. If it doesn't work out, you know, you can even cut him Sunday. You can cut him the next week. But I think you dealt with the no starters or the lack of starters early with some good bulk. And that's kind of what you have to do. And you got to, you know, deal with the hand you dealt yourself and go with there. And it sounds like you adapted to it pretty well.
Yeah. Now, there was a unique situation that came up in my draft. I want to get your opinion. I think I might have asked you this, but – we didn't get a whole lot of time to talk about it. The guy sitting next to me, nice guy, but he took Jerickson Profar in the 22nd round.
Oh.
And it was right after my pick, not right before my pick. I didn't say anything. I wanted to, and I kind of regret not doing so now. But just, you know, that I'm depriving somebody else of a pick. Because if I tell him, like, and he can repick and all that. They're drafting out of a magazine. And I feel like you invest this amount of money in this draft, kind of it's on you to prepare.
Yeah, I can see that. Was he using the RotoWire magazine at least?
No.
Well, if he was
using the RotoWire magazine, I would have definitely corrected him.
Now, are you talking telling him and so that he knows he needs to fill that spot later? Or are you talking telling him in hopes of that they stop the draft, he can repick?
The latter, actually. It's like, okay. I'd say, you know, he's out for the year or something like that. I feel like. But in a home league, I would do that in a nanosecond.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think when you're putting up that amount of money, if I had been sitting next to him, I probably would have told him so he could fill that spot if he was, you know, looking for a middle infielder or stuff. I probably would have told him after the pick. But I don't think I would have done anything to stop the draft. I think that's kind of on him at that point, as callous as that might sound. But I think it probably depends how friendly I was during the draft and how nice a guy he was. But I think I probably would have let him know. But I don't think there's anything you do to stop the draft, especially in a live event and something like that.
Right. And that's kind of what I settled on. And he had had Cano, Kipnis, and Jimmy Rollins previously. So didn't really need him. As he doesn't really need another middle infielder, at least. So for whatever it's worth. But yeah, so it was, you know, it was a unique situation playing, you know, because the room, the grand room with all five drafts, you don't find guys like that.
No, that's weird. I mean, you get people who are better and people who are worse, but you rarely get that sort of just kind of, I don't know if dead money is the right term, but someone who just doesn't know that a guy's been out for the year for 2 months. Not like it happened the day before or during the draft, which has happened before. I mean, this guy's been out for a couple months. That's right. That's a rarity to get that.
Right. So watch him beat me. But
yeah. Don't say what team name he is publicly, because then I'll look it up and see if he beat you.
No, I won't. Clearly won't. But because disaster lurks around every corner.
I'm guessing you're safe on that one.
All right, enough about my team. What about yours?
I think it worked out all right. You know, I looked at it, and I think, you know, we're talking about you can't leave a 15-team without being a little short somewhere. I think I'm a little short on, you know, kind of back-end pitching depth and maybe a little short on home runs and steals, but nothing, no big holes in divisions, but a little bit short on there. I was picking in the 7th spot, and I was kind of, I kind of picked that spot. I liked a top 8 or so. You know, after Trout, the 2nd through the 8th pick is kind of similar values to me. Obviously different guys, different positions, different what they do, but right. I was kind of fine getting any of them. It turned out that I picked between Miguel Cabrera and Jose Abreu. I took Miggy. I know a little bit injury risk there, a little bit older, but, you know, I think if he is just healthy, I think that the batting average is so big. The power is obviously, you know, hopefully can bounce back to the 2013 and 2012 levels. In terms of that head-to-head, do you think that's the right choice? Do you think Abreu's a better choice?
No, I think he did. I think he chose wisely. Abreu, to me, is like I'm getting old cool heels on him. The thing is, that's convenient because I don't have any shares of him at all. But the lack of power in the second half, the high BABIP, all of these things, the reasons everybody cites are convincing to me a little bit that there might be a fallback this year.
Yeah, so I went into this draft thinking that, you know, I liked about the first, say, 15 pitchers, maybe what we call the first two tiers, maybe the first 20 pitchers. And then I really I thought there was a big gap that kind of a lot of guys that are the same. So I kind of wanted to go maybe one or two pitchers in the first 5 or 6 rounds and then kind of wait a while. So I did that. I went 2 outfielders in the 2nd and 3rd round. I went with Yasiel Puig and Corey Dickerson, your buddy. I know Puig's a little bit of a tough pick in the 2nd round. You know, the home runs were way down last year. I've had a couple people that saw my team, you know, tell me, you know, he doesn't have any power. He doesn't hit for home runs. I don't really think that's the case. I think that the power's there. You know, he's still really young. What I like is that I think there's a pretty good floor on Puig with a lot of upside. And a lot of upside guys, you have a low floor. And I don't really see the low floor with him. The batting average is nice. The runs and RBIs will be there. I mean, if he adds some power, runs a little bit more, he can become a pretty legit player pretty fast.
Agreed. And the floor is Don Mattingly being a goofball and starting random people. But
yeah, but that's only in like game 5 of the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Not only a deciding game. And the ultimate there is, by the way, is having him pinch run and not pinch hit. And it's like it was bad. You know, it's just a little, you know, little twist of the knife there.
Because it could be argued that while he's a great hitter, he's not really a great base runner at times.
Not, he's fast.
He is fast.
Right. It was just a weird, weird setup there. But hey, go Mattingly.
And it's funny. I had 2 spots in the draft where I was really fired up. I was going to draft somebody, and they got taken right the pick before me. And the first one of those was round 3. Starling Marte got all the way to 3-6 and went to the guy to my left. That's who I really would have wanted there. I like Corey Dickerson, not quite as much as you do. That was a bit of a settle pick to me. I really wanted I wanted Justin Upton or Marte there. But I figured Dickerson, Coors Field, obviously a ton of talent. I think that'll work, but I don't love that pick as much probably as you do.
Right. Well, and I got him cheaper too. So,
you did.
For instance, some of the other, like Marte was long gone for me, you know, and all that too. I didn't really have much of a shot at him. But you know, it's interesting. Okay. So we talked about everything. Every draft pick is a choice. Where did you sacrifice?
I sacrificed, I'm trying to think, probably on Well, on kind of the starting pitchers, like in the 3-4 range, I went in the fourth round, I went with Matt Harvey, and I was deciding between him and Lester, and in a strange turn of events, Lester actually got all the way back to me in the fifth round. So I took Lester there. So I got my two starters, but I didn't take another starter again until the 13th round. So I kind of went a lot of hitters and a couple closers there. So while my starting pitching on the front end is pretty good, it's that middle range. I'm going to need a couple guys to step up to really compete, especially overall, especially in the ratios overall. I'm going to need a couple of the guys I took later who I like to step up. But there's definitely a hole in my staff kind of right in the middle of it.
Now, see, Matt Harvey at the 3-4 turn for me would have been ideal, but he went 3-1 in my league.
I was stunned he was there in the middle of the fourth. I mean, I have a few reservations, but, you know, 18 months off Tommy John, he should be as healthy as anybody else. Just the upside's huge. He's
right.
You know, it is a game we play for fun. He's going to be really fun to watch. I'm going to enjoy owning him. I really was happy to get him there. I think it'll be fun. But, you know, there's a little bit of an unknown there. You know, he's coming back and there's command issues maybe with the Tommy John surgery, but I think he's so far off that I was pretty comfortable taking him at a price where I didn't feel like it was a big reach.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good assessment.
And then I kind of got in the middle of the draft and I kind of took a lot of guys who I wasn't really planning on, but kind of fell to me, kind of fell far. If you look at ADP and kind of where they go in other drafts, I took Jason Kipnis in the sixth round, who I don't love, but I needed steals really badly at that point, so I decided to fill a middle infield position, also get some steals at the same time. And then in the seventh round, actually Nelson Cruz fell all the way back. I don't love him in Seattle. I don't think he's anywhere near what he did last year, but in the seventh round, I think that's a pretty good power bat, even if he slides back a bit.
Yeah, he went 5-14 in mine. So you can see the contrast there. Now, how many 15s have you done, Scott? I know you do a lot of 12s.
This year or kind of overall?
This year.
This was the first actually competitive one I'd done this year.
You don't do the slow drafts, the draft champions and all?
I've done a couple of them. I kind of get frustrated with them. I like managing my team in season. I get really frustrated when injuries and I can't figure out some way to get around it or way to manage it. So I know people that have done them, so I've looked at kind of their drafts and I've looked at a lot of stuff, but I didn't do any this year. I kind of just decided to just have I have a couple of 12s, a prime time and a main. I just kind of decided to stick with that, kind of limit my lineup moves on Friday and Monday and not drive myself too crazy. But
that's pretty smart.
They're a lot tougher than 12s, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Reason I ask is more just to like, so you know where like some of the runs happen, and also just to see if there's any commonalities, any players you have in common. Is there a style you tend to have in the 15s? I know you like being in the middle of the draft. You've said that before.
I do like being in the middle of the draft. I tend to think it's not for any other reason. The fact that I just don't think I draft very well on the ends. I tend to kind of panic draft a little bit and worry about runs a lot and think I need to jump guys more than I would. And in the middle of the draft, I really just, I target people, but I really let guys come to me. I let the draft fall a little bit. I took Starlin Castro in the ninth round. Another guy I really liked, but I wanted to wait on shortstop, but in the ninth round, I figured I just really liked that there. So I took him. I kind of just went with what the draft gave me for, round through those three hitters, 6, 7, and 9. It was just kind of guys I liked that just, kind of fell a few spots and fit my team really well at that point.
Nice.
And then, 8 and 10, I took a couple of closers. One of those things that I had figured between rounds 8 and 10, I was just going to take two closers, take two guys I liked. I took Drew Storen in the eighth, and I took Hector Rondon in the 10th. I know that
I like those guys.
Yeah, I do. I know that, Joe Maddon's had a history of not always going with a set closer, but I think he's more because he didn't really have guys in Tampa Bay that he wanted to fill that role. At least maybe I'm just talking myself into that. So,
well, for whatever it's worth, Jason Mott's been terrible this spring. Pedro Strop's probably your competition, the guy you need to worry about.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of it was that he doesn't have a real stud setup guy behind him. Strop's really good, but there's no one that's, knocking on the door that I'm too worried about. So I think if he's good, he'll be fine. With closers, I usually have bad luck, so I never know. But hopefully those two work out. Then as I moved on, I took Yadier Molina in the 11th round. I really think he's undervalued this year. His ADP has been about, the 9-10 turn. In the middle 11th round, I really like that one. I think people are overreacting to the injury last year. I think he'll be really solid. I'm doing the math quick, about the eighth catcher off the board. I think that really can work really well.
Yeah, he went in the 10th in mine. Which catcher dropped in ours? Matt Wieters.
How far?
All the way to the 16th round.
Wow.
I think that's as low as I've seen him.
Did you come to a point where you were thinking about him?
No. I was like, I wanted someone to take him, just get him off there. So it'd be like one less guy that I don't plan on knowing. I took John Jaso a round and a half later.
And not only that, it's tough to have an injured catcher because you're really carrying a third catcher, and you don't want to spend a draft pick on a good one because then at some point you've got three and you don't want three. So you're pretty much taking a kind of a crappy guy near the end, and then all of a sudden you're playing that guy for a month. So it's a weird spot to have a dead guy at.
Yeah, which is the same reason why I didn't rock the vote. I don't want to have to carry another guy for 2 weeks and then cut him. And, you know, the whole point is I don't want a guy that stinks. I don't, you know, a purposeful stinky guy. I mean, yeah, best available in the 30th round if it's the Tuffy Ghost of Witches or things like that. Although Nick Hundley fell to the last round. That is kind of interesting. He could start for Colorado.
I think he's going to. I mean, I have no idea what they're doing there with McHenry and Rosario, but I think he starts off. He went in the 24th round in mine.
Yeah, although I do think he starts and stinks. So
That's probably true, but Colorado, you just never know. After another outfielder, I started my pitching run. There's a lot of guys in the middle of the draft that I like. I'd like your read on some of these guys. I drafted 5 out of 6 rounds. I went starters. I went Chris Archer, Drew Hutchinson, Jake Odorizzi, Willie Peralta, and Jesse Hahn.
We have Hahn in common. I would have loved to add Archer. Odorizzi is kind of hot and cold. I like him. I think he gets the Ks, which is nice, but I think there's a lot of variability. Drew Hutchinson is like the sabermetric darling. Everybody loves the swinging strike rate or the Chandler version, the whiff rate,
right?
Which is a different denominator. It might actually be a better metric, but starting opening day. But
yeah, I like him. I don't like him as much as most. I mean, just pitching in Toronto worries me a little bit.
Right.
And as my fourth starter, I'm a little concerned about that spot. I've read a lot of great things about him. Apparently his stuff is great. Haven't watched him a lot, but the stuff's really good. It concerns me a little bit, but I backed him up with a bunch of starters. The guy I really wanted in the middle of my draft, I had it set up. I had really good batting average, needed some power. The guy I really wanted was Pedro Alvarez, and he actually went the pick before me, which was that was a rough one in the middle of the 14th round. I thought he'd be there. I had pushed him one round, and I got burned for it. So that one hurt, but he would have fit my team perfectly with my batting average base. But 15-team league, that sometimes does happen.
The late snipes are the worst.
They really are. The early snipes don't bug me because it's all good players. You realize that's that late snipe, the guy you really want, that really stings.
Because you don't have anybody else. You're like, what else am I going to do? That happened to one of the teams in our draft. Was going for Paxton, and, you know, really wanted him and panicked. And then, like, took a setup guy in, like, the 18th round, 19th round. Instead, Pat Neshek. And it was like, yeah, it's like – because they were running out of time.
Right.
And
that clock goes faster in person than it does online.
Sure does.
It's crazy how that works.
You don't have a queue in person.
Yeah, you also don't have 14 people staring at you.
Right.
Just finishing up my team real quick. I did rock the vote in round 19. We've already covered how strongly I feel about that strategy.
Who's your round 30 catcher?
I took Francisco Cervelli in the 29th.
Oh, I like Cervelli.
Yeah, not bad. I don't think he'll kill me. I think he'd be one of those guys that won't do a lot, but he won't hurt me. And I just hope that Steven Vogt, his foot holds up and he catches 10 games before he starts DHing or playing the outfield, because that would backfire pretty badly. I found myself needing a little bit of speed late. I took Michael Bourne. I don't like Michael Bourne. Do you think he has any sort of resurgence in him?
Yeah, I've got him in a couple leagues. I don't love him, but there's 30 steal potential.
That would be very helpful at that point in the draft. I didn't love that pick. The guy I wanted was Anthony Goes. List took him the same round. Then Eric Young went the same round. So I figured I might as well get the rabbit because they were going fast. So I took Bourne. I think I said Gross and Yuck when I picked him, but no, you know, hopefully that'll work out.
I think I like Bourne better than EY Jr., less than Gose.
That's kind of where I was at. But between Bourne and EY, I was going to be tough. Gose was the guy that I would have picked among the three.
Okay.
So the 23rd round, I took an interesting guy. You know, you just never know. I took Alex Rodriguez. Is that crazy? What do you think?
No, he homered that day. Third homer of the spring.
That was a bomb, too.
Yeah, it was. Wasn't Bryce Harper-like, but it was pretty close. He's having a pretty decent spring. May play some first base. You may have some multi-position eligibility out of him. Why not?
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured at that point. You know, the risk is so little, and I needed a corner badly because, you know, I'm going to put Vogt at catcher eventually. So hopefully that works out. That's a pretty big pick for me right there. If A-Rod works out at all, that fills the corner spot, which is really where I left myself weak. If I were to look back, the, you know, corner's a spot where a lot of people have some really good bats. I left myself weak there, which is probably not a good idea. If A-Rod can do anything and fill that spot a little bit, that's really big for my squad.
Yeah, A-Rod went the 21st in mind, for whatever it's worth.
Okay. There's two other names I want to ask you about before we finish my squad. I took Jace Peterson in the 25th round. What do you think about him?
I wanted him. Oh, I came so close to getting him. Yeah. He could steal 35 bases, or he could be in the minors on April 20th. But you're going to know pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of what I figured too. And I needed steals at that point. And if you can get him from a middle infielder, you know, that's just such a big value there.
Right, exactly. And he, what did you say, 25th round you got him?
Middle of the 25th, yeah.
Yeah, he went 24th in mine. So that's about right. That's prices right then.
And then a pitcher from your team, I took Anthony DeSclafani. I've read some good stuff about him. As a Reds fan, are you high on him? Not really?
Warming up to him.
Okay.
You know, having that 9 Ks and 6 innings outing, granted, spring training, et cetera, but still, hey, it's something. At least there's that potential. He's got the job.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the slot. They seem to like him. He's pitched well in spring training, so took a shot on him. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, the last couple pitchers might recycle and drop them, but I like to see him a few starts and see what he's got before I decide on that.
Right.
So I know that it's late. You've had a long day. Just one other thing. Looking back at your drafts, you know, it's kind of neat getting the end of draft season. There's somebody that you have a lot of. Who are you really heavily invested in that's important for you this year?
Well, besides Dickerson, who we've talked about, Cody Allen, I have a lot of shares of. Gomes, Carter, a lot of those guys. Taiwan Walker, that's my first one of them.
Okay.
Same with Zobrist. I like Chase Headley as the first time I got him. Usually I'm getting a third baseman before that, but for whatever reason I didn't. So
he was kind of my fallback third baseman if I needed one. I like where he went too.
Yeah, and because I took a third baseman so late, I took two of them. I took Aramis Ramirez also, who, yeah, no keeper value there, but that's okay. but I'm big on Jesse Hahn. I was big on Jordy Mercer early, kind of faded. Now I'm back on him again. You know, helps that Kung isn't hitting. So
right,
at least
yeah, great. that was the big risk early on, but I think that's pretty much a non-factor at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, this is a different draft because I hadn't drafted 15 that often. Usually I was drafting early or middle. And so I'm getting a lot of different guys here in this spot.
Yeah, mine, I ended up with Brett Laurie in a lot of places. I don't totally love him. And it's probably a little A's bias there. But I think the power's there. You know, obviously he's a huge health risk. But I think if he stays in the lineup, I think where he went, he'll be pretty good. And there's a little sneaky value there because you can play him at second and at third, which is obviously nice in a big league to be able to flip him to middle or to corner. You know, in those half weeks where you could play guys, you know, adds a little bit of value there.
How early did he go in yours, by the way? Sorry.
No worries. I took him in the 15th round.
Went the 12th in mine.
Oh,
well,
that makes me feel a little better.
How early he went. Yeah, well, it was because, like, he would have fit nicely. Needed a third baseman, could have slotted him in the middle. You know, I like the bounce back potential. Yeah, I like where you got him.
Yeah, after Alvarez went and I missed him, I took Hutchinson and then I waited around and then finally filled third base. The other guy I have a lot of, which is kind of strange, I didn't really expect, is I have in three of my four NFBC leagues, I actually have AJ Burnett, who I do kind of like going back to Pittsburgh. I think he could be decent. Obviously, the Pittsburgh pitching coach you know, has worked wonders with a lot of guys. Burnett was really good when he was there. I think I kind of throw out last year. I know he's not young, but I kind of just throw out last year as you know, one of those years where he made a bad choice where to go. He pitched poorly. The team was bad. He was in a bad situation. I think, you know, on a team that should be a contender, I think he might be all right, especially for, you know, home starts, that sort of thing.
Right. I think you're right. I think he's a sneaky good option as well. Again, no keeper value, but we don't care about that in this league.
On the flip side, who do you really like that you somehow are surprised that you missed out on or don't have on any teams?
Oh, there's... Scott, this is funny because there are so many guys that end up being that way. I don't think I have any Michael Wacha shares. If I have one, it's, you know, I have to go through all my teams because I have too many teams. But
I say you have a lot of leagues too.
I do. I do. I don't have him anywhere. And I would like to have him somewhere. So if you're in a league that allows trades, and you have him, knock on my door. I don't have any Gerrit Cole. He just got priced up a lot. He went 5-6 in mine, which is, I think, pretty standard for where he's going now. Didn't really have any real chance at getting him. I don't have any Paul Goldschmidt, first-round guy. Don't have him anywhere. There's a few that I really regret. How about you?
I have actually two guys that I probably couldn't shut up about all spring and somehow didn't end up with, and one is Adam Eaton. It's weird. He went a couple of leagues that he went really early, and I just kind of had no chance at him. And then a couple of leagues he went late, but I didn't need steals at the time, so he just never really fit what I needed. The teams I needed steals, he went early, and the other way around. So, and the other guy I really like this year is Carlos Santana. I like his third base eligibility. I think he could be where he's taken. You know, I think it's in a 15 teamer. He went in the fifth, sixth round, right in there. He went in the fifth round in my main event. I think he's a really good value at third base there. A guy that I really wanted and just never seemed to be at the right spot to take. And, you know, frustrated that I think he's going to have a really good year. I really like what he did about the last 4 months last year. I kind of just throw out April and half of May. He's a guy that I really wanted. And just, you know, it's funny how you could do all these drafts and just never end up in the exact right spot to take a guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Like we were talking on Friday night before the NFBC, you know, where I'm drafting for sure, there's like a whole class of players I'm never going to get because I'll never take him at the 1-2 turn, and they're never coming back at 3-4. And such is life. So it goes.
That is the joy of it, but should be fun. Do you have any more drafts left?
I have just a reserve draft. Did the XFL live from First Pitch Arizona in November.
Okay.
It's an auction, 15-team auction, mixed league, keeper league, though. And then we do a March reserve draft, reserve and minor league draft.
It's kind of an interesting way to do that.
It is. It's kind of cool, actually. But, I'll hope to get a few other guys there. Oh, one other guy I didn't get. Another one that got away is Jock Peterson. I wanted him just for whatever reason, just never ended up with him.
He got pushed up pretty good, too. So that's another one that if you wanted him, you really had to kind of jump for him. But
yep.
Anything else? Anything I'm going to let you go to bed otherwise?
I think we're good. We'll do a little bit deeper podcast next week, but hey, happy to be back from the NFBC. Lot to go over this week.
Absolutely. We got the first week of free agent moves in NFBC leagues on Sunday night, so we'll have that to discuss next week. Other than that, thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. And once again, if you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher, could please rate and view the podcast. We'd really appreciate any and all feedback. If you want to ask any questions or hit us up on Twitter, Jeff is at Jeff_Erickson, and I am at Scott Genstad. That's Genstad. Other than that, everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.